This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
And it's late on my first episode of DNA, stands for Discover New Artists. I have an incredible first artist. Full disclosure, the way I'm planning on doing the show is I'm doing lots of homework, trying to discover new artists in the space that haven't kind of popped off yet, subjectively based on my one personal opinion that I like the art. I then dig in. My normal plan has been historically to buy a couple of pieces and then kind of share it in VFriends Discord and then kind of share it with, and share it with my friends and then kind of share it on Twitter. And that's been the course of action. What I want to do now is be even more aggressive with helping new artists and my platform. Couple things. First of all, some of these artists, you know, may have a life decision change. And so none of this is financial advice. This is all just subjective creative that I believe in, but I do want to put people on that I like. And so my normal course has been to do a bunch of homework, look at their stuff, look at OpenSea, look at their Twitter interactions. And that's how I'm doing it. I always like to disclose my purchases too. So the incredible artist that I have now has a project called Woman and Weapons. I bought 80 on the mint, and then you can come off speaker.
Hey.
Tell everybody your name. And then actually one quick question. I also bought some one of ones from you. Yes. Before I, right? Can you, because I always want to disclose, but I didn't have time because, again, D-Rock and Andy ruined my life here tonight. I didn't have time to see. I know I bought 80 on the mint of weapons, but how many one of ones did I buy?
You got three of them, one of which was my self-portrait one.
Love it. So great. So that's how I plan everybody with DNA, how I plan to do all the shows. Full disclosure on what I already own, because I think it's an important part because I fear around that. So three one of ones, and I minted the project. And with that, we can now get into the show. So why don't you tell everybody your name, where you're from, and maybe a 3-minute bio, and then I'm going to go into a series of questions.
Sure. So my name is Sarah Bauman. I'm the creator and artist behind Women and Weapons. I'm based out of Dallas, Texas. My 3-minute spiel is basically that I am a full-time occupational therapist. I've been working in the hospital system. I've loved art since as long as I can remember, since as long as I could hold a marker, basically. My mom is an immigrant from Iran, and, you know, raising me, she really wanted to make sure that I would be independent and have a sustainable career. And so, you know, being that mother that she is and sassy little lady, she was like, Sarah, you have to be doctor, lawyer, or engineer. Her and I compromised. I became an occupational therapist, but I continued to do art on the side to help pay my way through my master's degree. And then just kind of as a side hustle, as I've been working as an occupational therapist, now Gary has essentially stepped in and kind of helped change my life completely. I'm now working as a full-time artist and a part occupational therapist. So that's essentially my spiel. It's my husband and myself that are behind Women and Weapons. He and I have been together for 17 years, married for 3. And this is my absolute passion. I am enjoying every single day that I'm getting the opportunity to work on this and getting to create art.
Let's go into the NFT origin. So you were doing art before, obviously, based on that narrative story. How did you discover NFTs?
So my lovely husband, Jake, he's been really big into the crypto space since about 2018. He discovered NFTs earlier this year, and he was like, hey, Sarah, why don't we turn some of your art pieces into NFTs? And I was like, okay, Hail Mary, let's see how it goes. So we did, and that's the Genesis collection essentially that you purchased into. So I'm still fairly new-ish to the space. I want to say I've been in it since about April of this year, but I'm absolutely loving the NFT space and all that it's doing for people. So I'm just beyond ecstatic to be here.
What were your first feelings about the NFT space? Did you think it was like, was it hard for you to comprehend? Did it come natural? How did it like pop off for you at first?
Oh no, super, super confusing to comprehend initially. I was like, what do you mean people are buying PNGs or JPEGs? I don't get it. But you know, it's kind of interesting because it's one of those things that you just gradually, you pick up. It's almost like math, like the more you mess up in it and struggle with it, the more you start to really understand it. And so over the past several months, I've been understanding more and more about the NFT space and getting to know people. And I wouldn't say I'm, you know, an expert in the area by far. I'm certainly not, but I definitely have a pretty significant understanding of the NFT space now. And I'm learning it, definitely still learning it.
So first of all, it's good to see Snoop Dogg in here, and that excited me. what I really want, real quick, a public service announcement for this show. My plan with DNA is to give a huge platform to new artists up front and discover them. So please, everybody, especially the Snoops of the world, please share this talk right now, this Twitter space in your Twitter feed. You can hit the button below because I want as many humans as possible to know who Sarah is. The other part is I want to open up for some Q&A at the end of every show because I know there's general NFT questions probably for me and I'm really not available these days. So that is the plan for the show and we'll get into Q&A shortly. But Sarah, what was kind of like your first sale? Talk us through your first sale and then I want to get into the art. Like, why do you draw these women with very, very, very aggressive weapons?
So initially, you know, I had listed my Genesis collection. It was listed for about a month and a half on OpenSea. And I had a few trickling offers here and there, but nothing super crazy. And, you know, I've been selling my art on the side for about 10 years now. So this is definitely a different thing. My first real introduction to an NFT sale was actually through you. You know, you post you're seeking out an artist several Saturdays a month. And I had posted in the comments that I'd love for you to be my first collector. I also happened to be at work at the hospital that day too, and I was in a patient's room and my Apple Watch kept buzzing like crazy, so I ran downstairs to where we document, and I was trying to figure out why my Twitter was going nuts, why my watch was going nuts. I called my husband and he was basically crying and he was like, oh my god, Sarah, Gary just bought three of your pieces and the rest of them sold out in 45 seconds. And I was kind of like, I'm pretty sure actually that I fell onto the floor from my computer chair, which some of my coworkers were there to witness. So I'm sure that was highly entertaining. So that was really my first introduction into an NFT sale, which I feel like is a pretty crazy introduction into the space.
I agree. And so how did you guys comprehend, like, tell me, because I think a lot of artists are about to go through this. My big thesis with this space is it's going to be a long tail game. There's gonna be a lot of people. Yes. Not everybody's gonna be, you know, the Banksys of the world. Not everyone's gonna be Xcopy and Beeple, but a lot of people are gonna be able to have your life, which is you went from something that was practical, but now you're able to make what you love become practical. And there'll be a lot of Gary V's that put people on over time. And that's just gonna become the thing. Like, you know, people will make 60, 80, 200,000 a year being mm-hmm. an artist in this infrastructure, which is just remarkable because they're doing what they love versus not. You yes. know, so what I wanna get into your mind right now, you actually lived, and this is meta because it was with me. Hopefully in future shows, I'll have it with different people to hear from because it's a little kind of weird asking because I'm involved in this story, but I wanna hear it. What happens that night when you realize, okay, how much USD did you make that day through my three purchases? And then obviously people watch my wallet, and so I assume people bought up the rest of the pieces. Do you remember?
I want to say it was around $30,000 we made that day, which, I mean,
astonishing amounts of money.
It's astonishing amounts of money, but I'm also one of those people that like kind of goes into shock for like a week before anything hits me. So I think I just didn't quite like, I was still just in total shock. It didn't hit me at all, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I had already started on this 10,000 piece generative collection prior to minting those Genesis pieces, just because I wanted to really challenge myself and have something geared more towards the NFT space. But after that sale, I was like, oh man, I got to hit the ground running. So I basically dove into my art cave and and tried to really pump out my my generative collection as soon as I could.
How far along were you on the collection, and how much did the speed of those sales like speed up the launch? Because did you feel a concern that you didn't want to lose your moment?
Yes, definitely. Honestly, I was just kind of bopping around originally. I was drawing my pieces for about, I want to say, 2 months prior to minting my Genesis collection. I had been just working on it. And then after those sold, I hit the ground running. I would go to work in the hospital. I'd be working like a 10-hour day. I'd come home and I'd be drawing for another like 6 to 8 hours and then back to work the next day. So I was working, you know, 16-hour days for, I want to say, about 3 weeks to a month trying to pump out that generative collection, because I was like, you know what? This is an incredible opportunity that I've been given, and I really need to work on, you know, kind of kicking my butt into gear and seizing the moment as much as I can. And that's exactly what we did. I took advantage of my time and went for it.
One of the reasons, in a world of 5 to 7 artists, Amber, who used to work for me, and David Zhang's wife, Steven, who I just got very excited very recently about his Brian Vomitz collection, 3 to 5 others that I'm quiet about because I want to make this show super fun and surprise unveils. But the reason, Sarah, I decided to pick you for the first episode was I always want to win for my community. And I bought your pieces because I think you have something. And I'm excited to actually get into like why you make the art that you make. But the main other reason that I wanted you on is, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've been very busy, but the floor of Women and Weapons right now is quite attractive, right?
Yes.
What's the floor?
So I haven't looked in
0.08.
Yeah, I haven't looked in a few hours, but I want to say it's something around there.
Right. So for all the listeners, one of the reasons that I kind of chose Sarah was for the inaugural episode. Again, a lot of people are trying to find better value NFTs. And I just really just appreciate the price that the market has these at right now. I think it could be really cool. So I kind of want her to win, but I kind of, to be very frank, want the 4,000 of you to win as well. And so a little bit of my strategy of why I wanted you here, because I think you're in that very sweet spot right now where on pricing. Why do you draw these women with massive fucking weapons?
So it's funny that you asked that. So originally I've been, you know, kind of an artist where I paint things more so than anything else, especially flowers. For some reason, I'm really drawn to flowers. But I was like, you know what? I really want to dig deep into my brain and I want to create a collection that kind of contrasts itself. You know, usually people wouldn't pair women and weapons together, right? But they certainly have a lot of similarities and they certainly have a lot of contrasts. But to me, those weapons are kind of a symbol of, you know, the various weapons that as women we carry. So, you know, our strengths, our empathy, our ideas, our creativity, and so on and so forth. And I, you know, it is art. I do want people to kind of gather their own interpretations from it. But that I created the collection. I wanted to kind of denote the strength of women. I wanted to denote it in a mid-century kind of perspective because, you know, that's a time where not that it's anything bad, but being a housewife was very common. And, you know, a lot of times it wasn't as appreciated, the strengths and the incredible skills that women had. So that's part of why I decided to do this collection in this way, kind of the 1950s, 1960s style woman with these crazy awesome weapons that are also symbolic to the weaponry that we carry every day.
I love that. That just made me like this project even more. I really like the era that you decided to address it with. How did you think about rarities and collectability, and what was your strategy into the project on that?
So I really wanted, well, okay. So first and foremost, I love gold. I love the color gold. It's amazing. So I gave, you know, pretty significant rarity to anything that's colored gold. But I also threw in some little like Easter eggs in there in certain places. So, you know, I named some of the bodies after notable women throughout history. I wanted to kind of intrigue people to look up these unique women that are throughout history, like Nefertiti, Nefertari, Queen Isabella, so on. But I also, you know, the rarity was just kind of based off of like my interests, things like that. And some of these little Easter eggs as well. I don't know if anybody's looked, but one of the body traits is Sparky, which is named after me. Not to totally toot my own horn, but that is, you know, one of the more rare body types. So, you know, I want it to be a collectible breeze. I also really want to be able to give back to our collectors, which is why, you know, I really want to keep Women and Weapons going. I'm really trying to build the Women and Weapons universe and brand because I do want to give back to the people who have, you know, believed in me and believed in this project. Oop. Gary, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, there we go.
Did you hear what
I
said?
No, I did not.
Do you feel pressure that you have to focus on this project for the next 3 to 5 years because so many people bought in and this genre? And like, do you feel pressure on creating concepts, building out some of the characters, making shit happen, books, whatever it might be, spending your evenings doing shows? Like, do you feel a pressure to deliver and create the demand so that the people that bought in and believed in you made a wise investment?
Honestly, I really don't feel any pressure because this is my dream too, you know? So this is something that I'm really excited about. I want to create, you know, every day that I'm getting to work on this and getting to illustrate and so on. I mean, I literally have to pinch myself because I can't believe how incredible this is. So I really don't feel a lot of pressure as much as drive. I want to make this incredible you know, for everybody, of course, but this is also my dream that I'm getting to live out. And I'm just unbelievably grateful for that. So I just want to continue to build and create and make it bigger and better. I want everybody who's participated in this to be proud for sure. And that's why I'm giving my heart and my soul to it.
Who did you look up to in art? Did anybody inspire you growing up?
As far as art goes, I didn't have a single particular artist that I was like just absolutely over the moon by. Of course, you know, Frida Kahlo, she's an incredible artist that I've always admired, but probably one of my biggest inspirations in the art world has always been actually architecture. I'm very much inspired by both Spanish and Persian architecture. Something about the symmetry of it and the craftsmanship of it has constantly been inspiring to me. But I think another big thing that inspires me is my family. I come from a family of artists. Most of my family in Iran, they're all either artists, graphic designers, painters, architects, music producers, you name it. And I think they're heavily the ones that have inspired me.
I love that. What was the biggest surprise or fun story to tell us after it popped off with that Genesis Pieces, or maybe on the launch day, or like what's been kind of cool?
Well, I don't know if anybody has had a chance to see our video right after launch. I know you've seen it, Gary. But, you know, after we sold collection, which, you know, I've said before, I'm one of those people that tends to go into shock for a period of time. We sold out and I look over and my husband's sitting, you know, in another seat in our living room and he's just bawling his eyes out. I mean, absolutely bawling. And I could not get him to like calm down for, I want to say like 15, 20 minutes. And I was like, you know, we've got to film like a thank you video. And as we were filming that thank you video, all of a sudden, like we're halfway through it. And I was like, holy moly, this is real life. Oh my gosh, this is bonkers. And I think that's when I started crying because all of a sudden, like that light bulb, you know, turned on. I was like, wow, this is real life. Oh my gosh, this is bonkers. Okay. Tears. I just, you know, I lost it. So, totally freaked out after our sellout. But I don't know that a lot of people know that poor Jake, my husband, was the first one to just really go ham in the tears. He bawled his eyes out, poor thing.
What are you thinking about? What alphas can you give us on the project? Is there anything on Women and Weapons that you can give us a preview to or innuendo towards for all of us that are kind of excited in the project?
Yeah, no. So we are definitely planning on building out the Women and Weapons universe. We're really excited for what's to come in 2022. We're currently working on a merch store. And we have several seasons coming up. We have season 2 coming up soon. And there's going to be a really interesting story behind season 2 that I'm excited for people to see. But we're also really looking forward to partnering with some big brands and big names. So those are our next goals going forward. Specifically for 2022, we're absolutely ecstatic about that. And, you know, I don't know that we've really shared much of that with anybody else. So you guys are kind of the first ones to get to learn of that.
Are you thinking about bringing in business development partners? You know, one of the things that I've always thought was people misunderstood what was going on with BeFriends because I have an 1,800 person global agency with talent in all arenas that I've been building for 13 years. You know, Andy was the head of my content. He's the president of BeFriends. I didn't have to go hire a president or leader. We have continuity and speed. You know, I have a lot of capabilities. I can build this. When I think about you as a husband and wife team, you know, going and doing brand deals and things of that nature, how are you thinking about building out the team?
Yeah, no, we're definitely planning on going forward with a development company. We're not, you know, we have this as a project now, but we want to build this into a business and a brand. So we really want to continue to grow, you know, in every direction we possibly can. We just want it to go forward and we want this to have a lot of longevity to it. We're looking at development companies. We're looking at branding. We have a whole bunch of stuff coming down the pipes.
I love it. What, have you started buying NFTs?
Oh yeah.
Have
oh,
you bought
yeah.
any NFTs? Yeah, so what have you been buying, supporting? What do you like?
So I mean, obviously we have, you know, some of these like blue chip NFTs. So we're big into World of Women, Boss Beauties. There's a few smaller artists that we've already started purchasing with our Patreon wallet. There's Thou NFT, there's Crown Syndrome. We actually bought a V friend, which was super exciting. So we're excited to see you at VCon.
Which, Which one are you? Well, hold on. What do you mean we are? One ticket per one V friend. So you're going to have to.
We're going to have to get another one.
Got it. Fair enough. Which one did you pick up?
We got the polished poodle.
I love that. So has that been fun for you? Have you learned? I mean, would you say that World of Women had inspiration for what you were thinking about? Like, how'd you think about that?
So I think the biggest inspiration that World of Women and Boss Beauties and so on kind of brought to me was the need for further female representation in the space. Yes. I absolutely love their artwork, but you know, whenever I started on a lot of my artwork, I really hadn't delved in too deep into the NFT space. So a lot of it was kind of me going in blind, just creating whatever I created based off of, you know, my own thoughts and ideas. But you know, one of the things that they certainly inspired me about was the fact that I think that there needs to be a lot more women representation, and I want, you know, women to see my NFTs and I want them to feel represented in it, you know, whether it's the look or the attitude or what have you. And I feel like, you know, in that regard, we are a little bit different there.
I totally understand. Anything you want to touch on before we open up to Q&A?
Well, you know, I have people all the time coming to me and kind of asking me, like, you know, what is it that you find so beneficial in the NFT space? And I feel like the best answer to that is just being yourself, being transparent, being genuine. I think right now we're in a space where a lot of people have, you know, PFPs and so on. You don't get to really know the person's character or who they are. And so being yourself in this space, I think, means the absolute world. But one last little thing that I have is also, please, Gary, to tell you, thank you a million and one times over. You have been absolutely pivotal in just completely and totally changing my life. Because of you, I now have the opportunity to go forward and, you know, do something that I'm absolutely passionate about. And I'm following my dreams now. I'm really getting to live my dream right now. And I'm so unbelievably grateful to you for that.
You're incredibly sweet, but I'm going to correct you on one thing. It's because that you're living your dreams. I'm incredibly humbled and honored to be a small part of the equation, given the exposure. But had you not put in all those hours of having a talent to be able to draw this, had your not wonderful husband put in the time and efforts to know about crypto or know about the evolution to NFT, have you not had the humility and the curiosity and the belief to make some of those alpha pieces, then it wouldn't have led to anything. And so I appreciate that, but let there be no confusion. You made your dream happen.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, those words, they genuinely mean a lot. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Okay, it's time to request up, everybody. If you got requests, please request now. We're going to take a couple of questions. You're more than welcome to ask Sarah a question about women and weapons. And you're more than welcome to ask me a question on the general NFT space or anything else I can bring you value in. So I see a bunch of requests. I'm going to start going into them, and we're going to start bringing some peeps in. Let's do this. Let's see. Hello? Just going to unmute in a second.
What's Rally? Up, man?
What's up? How are you?
How you doing? Yeah, I got a question. Are you into martial arts?
Me, Gary Vaynerchuk, or Sarah?
No, Sarah. Door? I was just wondering. I mean, that's a lot of, there's a lot of martial arts stuff going on in there. I love the nunchucks.
I actually dabbled a little bit in jujitsu. I am by no means good at it whatsoever, but it's certainly something that I definitely enjoy. And I'm also a big fan of UFC, if that's anything for you to know.
I like that. I like it. When I first saw him, I saw him, you know, when they first came out, and I was like, wow, okay. There's spikes. They're holding spikes. And then, yeah. And then when I saw the claw, I was like, oh my God. Okay. All right. Watch out for who's making this. You know, if I was going to sit down and have coffee with you, I'm just going to have to, you know, I'm going to sit across there a little further. Back, you
know? Well, I promise I'm a really big hugger. I'm a hugger. I'm not mean at all. I promise. This is, you know, entirely symbolic. I will not take anybody's butt anytime soon.
I love it because it's just, it's empowering, but it also, and I just like it because it has retro.
Do you have it? I know the retro part is so awesome. Right. That's what kind of, you know, I love nostalgia. Do you have any?
Yeah, I had, I just had Krista go pick up some from me, and I think that she bought a few back from when they first came out.
It's awesome, man. Thank you for your question.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Let's keep this going. Actually, Sarah, what is the, what are the best pieces? What are the rarest pieces? Are the green ones, like, I've been so busy since I minted them that I haven't even really had the time to like really go through what even I got. Obviously now I'm getting excited. I'm getting even a little bit more excited. I really like what you said about the era that you chose to draw in and then giving them, I just really like where you went with that. I just feel like you have spirit that's going to work in this space. So I'm excited to dig in, but just to save me research time, and obviously I can toggle on OpenSea and see, yeah. But what are the rarest ones and why are they the rarest ones?
Sure. So the Sparky body, which is the blue body, that is one of the rarest, as well as the Carolyn body. She's inspired by one of my managers at work who also has vitiligo. And I think it's absolutely beautiful the way that she wears her vitiligo. Any of my angels, they're very rare. And pretty much any of the weapons that are gold are very rare because, again, I'm a Persian girl and I love gold. Yeah, exactly.
We established that you love gold.
Yes, that is right. My jam right there. Favorite color.
Let's get Tony in here. Tony.
Hey, Gary. Twitter just always does this to me. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I am good. Hi. You know, I love Gary so much. Me and Sarah, we have like one thing in common. We're so in love with you.
True. Very true. I regularly call Gary my angel, like all over the place.
Me too.
I like this show.
We compare notes and we're like, oh, I love Gary. No, I love Gary. Oh, Gary changed my life. I'm like, me too.
Yes. A literal angel, like, you know, not to totally toot the horn too crazy, but yes, I completely agree.
Absolutely, Gary. You're such an amazing person. I know you're humble and you're like, you know, you guys are putting in the work, but you got it here. You're an amazing person. And
thank you, Tony. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have more of, you know, just to say to Sarah.
Yeah. Yep.
Just to say to Sarah, you know, congratulations. It's not, you know, a lot of people think it's easy to do these NFT things. It's not easy. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of sweat that goes into it. And congratulations on the success. I am a few, proudly.
Thank you, Tony.
You're so welcome. A few of us have actually met before in LA. We did a little Women and Weapons meet, and we're fully behind you. We support you. We love you. And whatever you need from us, we're here for you. And that's what I just wanted to say.
You all Amazing. Are just so wonderful. Y'all have definitely become my friends. I hope you know that. I look forward to real life hugs.
Absolutely. Definitely looking forward to that.
Thanks, Tony. Tony.
Thank you.
All right. Let's keep this going. Let's click right here. Add as a speaker. Hello? Is it on mute?
Hello?
Hi. What's your name?
My name's Chris, a.k.a. Melodic.
Melodic. Yeah. It's a real pleasure. How are you?
Good. Tony, Gary, I've been following you for a long time, so I appreciate the opportunity to speak here. This is amazing. Yep, here, especially with the Women and Weapons. One thing I wanted to just maybe ask, maybe get perspective on, is with Coinbase coming up, I kind of view maybe just my perspective is Coinbase is kind of a platform that's obviously huge, but it is a very much of a lot of people, it's their first place where they enter crypto. And I'm wondering if a lot of the projects that have the higher floors are already being maybe priced in for them coming. And it's going to be projects that have lower floors that aren't going to cost a ton of money, might get a huge benefit. And I'm wondering if...
I think it's going to be a game of both. I think your philosophy is right. Look, I think here's my biggest concern. Right now, we have most of the energy thinking about this from an investment standpoint, and that's amazing. I have no worries about that at all. Some people will collect, most will invest. I just think the thing that's going on, Chris, is like everyone's making judgments on such short period of time. For example, if Sarah does something very, very smart in 4 years, then all of a sudden Women and Weapons explodes then.
Gotcha. So
right. So to your point, like it's great to think about the Coinbase influx and it will be big and it will matter. And like for everybody listening here, like a lot of new people are going to buy their first NFT when the Coinbase thing rolls out properly. It's going to be a big deal. I just think that it's not, unless you're looking to trade in that 90-day window. And the reality is most people are day trading. By the way, the biggest reason I tell everybody to never buy anything I buy is I'm buying forever. Like these Women and Weapons, I'm thinking about Sarah's career like 17 years from now.
You are so awesome.
And like that's what, it's just what I'm betting on, right? Like, I'm not buying with money that I need to turn into money. And obviously I have more now, but that's not what I would have done in this space if this was 15 years ago. I would have taken my $8,000, I would have bought low cost projects and hoped that I'd nailed a Bored Ape or a Cool Cat or a World of Women or a Creatures or a Toads, you know, and then that would have set me off. And if not, I would have kept grinding and tried to find my one. But I still would have invested with the concept of 5-10 years from now, because the day trading, most people are gonna get caught on the day the whole market crashes, and then they're gonna be finished. You could be up all day long, and if you catch the wrong Thursday at 4:13 p.m. and you're not liquid and everything's collapsing so fast that you can't move it and nobody's buying, it's game over.
Yeah, no one makes total sense.
We need a lot more long-term thinking, a lot more. I just really implore everybody in this room to spend money that they can afford to lose. This is a high-risk gold rush, 1999 internet. The reason I keep bringing up the same analogy is because it's the analogy. This is 1999 and 2000 with internet stocks. Every pets.com is worth $1 trillion and most of it's going to zero. Oh, by the way, Amazon and eBay are sitting out there. And whether it's Bored Ape or Women Weapons or World of Women or Gary or V-Friends or Cool Cats or Creatures or Toads or Lazy Lion, whatever it's going to be, they're sitting there. But most aren't. And most things right now are incredibly expensive. And oh, by the way, go to Crypto Slam right now and go all the way to the bottom and look at projects that everybody was super hot on just 200 days ago, 100 days ago, and they're fucking finished already. We talk all about Bored Ape and V-Friends and other great projects that have won, but we're not talking about the projects that you go scroll down that did $380 or $1,000 in secondary today. Go to cryptoslam.io right now. Go look and scroll all the way down, and you can remember this August, that was a hot project, or this March, it was a hot project, and it's already dead, and there's nobody in the Discord, and it's fucking over. And that's going to happen way more.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to talk, Gary. Like, you're the GOAT. I can't wait to get your book.
Thank you, brother. Take you care. Thank you so much. Sarah, on that point, have you thought about the moment when there might be an NFT winter, and even if Women and Weapons gets really hot right now in the next couple months, like, if we all get swept up in it, V-Friends, Bored Ape, everybody, have you thought about what that feeling will feel like when you start getting messages that aren't as sweet as it is right now and are saying things like, Sarah, what the fuck are you going to do? I bought this fucking NFT for $4,000 and now it's only $180. Like, what are you doing about this? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely been thinking about it and trying to figure out exactly how we would handle things like that. But I'm also not putting my self-worth into it either. I'm doing what I love here, you know. I, of course, want to build something that's going to have longevity behind it. I want to build a brand. You know, I want this road to continue. I want it to go on for years and years. But I'm not going to let it affect me personally because, you know, I'm doing everything that I love right now and I do want to give back. But, you know, you can only control what you can control.
By the way, I am retweeting all of you right now that are sharing your beautiful, beautiful women and weapons in the, by the way, you're selling a Sparky for 1.88. All right, let's get this. And, we're going to get one of my favorite people that I've interacted with for a long time. Many years, I've been caught up in a little while. And Mitch. Mitch, can you hear us?
I'm here. Sorry about that. Sarah,
no worries.
Love your work, Sarah. It's just gorgeous. In fact, I love it so much. We just picked up 9367. I prominently displayed it on my Twitter feed. Thank you. I love empowering women. We've got two strong women in our family. And I'd like you to, if you don't mind, I noticed you are interested in contributing to Malala and what she's doing in the world. Can you share a little bit about that? And Gary, how you doing? Long time no see.
Hey, Mitch, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So one of our big things going into our Women and Weapons NFTs is that no matter whether we sold one or all of our Women and Weapons, we were regardless going to donate 5% to the Malala Foundation. So far, we've donated a little over $100,000, and we intend to continue donating 5% of secondary every quarter because we realize that it's a really important foundation. It's helping women all over the world gain an education. And like I've said, you know, education to a woman can be their weapon. That can allow them for independence and continued growth. So we want to continue supporting the Malala Fund for a good while. And it's very important for us to keep donating that 5% of secondary towards them.
one of the wonderful things I love about NFTs is your art brought me to that project. And now that we've purchased your art and we'll be sharing your art, we can also spend some time and hopefully help out with the project. So it's nice to meet you. It's nice to be here tonight. And Gary, thanks for bringing Sarah in. This has been wonderful.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for saying that. It's really great to see you again. It's been so fun to interact with so many people that have interacted in the Web 2.0 movement. Now, as we are here in the Web 3 movement. Okay, I'm going to keep this going and get some more people up here. Let's see what Lori has to say. Lori, you are joining us, and I'm excited to say hi to you as soon as it connects. Yep, and now you will unmute, hopefully, in a second, and we will hear from Lori. Lori.
Not hi, Gary. It. Hey there.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, so
how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to ask Sarah, well, first of all, I am such a fan. I have my own Women of Weapons. And I just want to, Sarah is such a hero, and she's doing what she can to help other women artists. I was so excited when you picked up a piece from Tao, because we're always talking about, you know, onboarding female artists, women artists in the space. And we were just talking about, we've been talking about how women can know their worth and feel and be excited about this and come into the space, which is largely dominated by men, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When you did that with Tao, it just really sparked something, is that by doing that, by picking up the piece that she was already, you know, wondering about, and you really just helped solidify, especially to me as well, and I know to Tao, to know your worth. How do you do this, and how do you navigate the scary field that's largely dominated by men? What gives you the confidence to keep going?
Well, that's a really good question, first and foremost. And I absolutely adore Tao as a human and as an artist. Her work is absolutely gorgeous. But, you know, for me, I kind of go into it with the forward foot, I should say, of I kind of have blinders on a little bit. Like, I'm focused on what I'm doing and where I'm going. And I'm not so much focused on what other people are saying, or, you know, I do realize it is a very male-dominated space, but I don't really let it affect me so much, because I'm working on my own mission and I have my own goals, and my goal is to achieve those goals. So regardless, as, you know, how many men are in the space, or if it is male-dominated or not, or if people, you know, are putting down my artwork or what I'm doing, you know, I'm proud of what I'm creating. I'm impressed with myself that I was even able to create, you know, a generative collection and kind of have the cojones to put it out there. And, you know, I think every little bitty milestone should be a really big celebration. I think as you continue to meet those milestones and continue to celebrate those tiny milestones, it helps build your confidence more and more.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I'm just, you know, seeing so many women come into the space and develop that confidence and to know their worth and to know their value. That's just something that, you know, we're all trying to do. And I'm just so glad that you're doing that.
And Lori, mm-hmm. and Lori, honestly, you know, first of all, that's exactly right. And then honestly, just artists in general, mm-hmm. women, men, you know, we've gone through a 25-year technology boom where artists were in a framework where you were doing art for free just for exposure with the hope of something. This is game changing.
Right.
This is game changing. And a lot of artists are insecure. Mm-hmm. Humans, the reason there is a Gary V is because I've realized, oh shit, I'm so grateful for the confidence my mom built in me. Oh shit, most people are, oh, all these bad things that are happening are based on insecurity. Like, this is an amazing time for people to take the risk and challenge themselves. And by the way, for all the artists that are listening right now where your work has not been bought, that doesn't mean you stink. It just means that it hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. And also,
like, Sarah, when did you post your alphas? How long were they sitting on OpenSea with zero sales?
Oh yeah, no, I posted my Genesis pieces. They were sitting like a month and a half before anything happened.
Zero sales.
Yeah, zero, right, Sarah? Sales.
Zero sales. That's 6 weeks, 8 weeks, zero sales, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And that goes for real and then world me art too. Over,
yeah, and me on a random cup of coffee, could have been anything, could have happened. I was in the mood during a workout because I'm trying to maximize my family time on Saturdays, but that's like I can sneak it in between reps with Mike, put out the post, go through my feed of all the artists. Yours is connects for me, my bottom.
Yes, no, definitely. I'm, see, and honestly, just that's what I keep telling people. Keep grinding. You know, keep working hard. It just, you know, it may not have hit yet, but it definitely might. So keep working hard. Keep giving it your all. Keep being genuine. And, you know, another note that I wanted to throw out there too, you know, definitely not meaning to bash on men in any form or fashion. I like to tell people a lot that, you know, as us women with weapons as our symbol, men can also be our weapon. Like, for example, my husband empowered me in all of this. So that was just a little thing that I wanted to throw in there as well.
I think that's amazing. I'd also like to publicly apologize to everybody for covering my mic multiple times. I get excited. This is not my normal format. I will be better in episode 2 of DNA.
I just held my phone up to my ear and I could hear you, no problem.
I've got to go, Sarah. I just want to thank you for being the first ever guest on this show that I plan on doing, because I just have a funny feeling the karma points are going to add up. I hope that the over 5,000 people that are listening to this right now all give a really serious look on OpenSea for this project. I don't know what's been going on during this show. My intuition is that some have been bought. I believe in you. I think you're going nowhere. I am a champion of you. I also want to be one of the men in your life that is a good, and I have a very big ambition myself in your success. And I'm just very grateful that you're here and hopefully inspiring many people tonight. And I'm just really grateful for your time.
Thank you so much. I mean, truly, truly so much for having me up on this stage. I mean, what an incredible blessing it is to be the first person, or first artist on here. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I've said it once and I'll say it again. You're an absolute angel and a massive blessing. Thank you for blessing our community and helping uplift so many artists. It's absolutely incredible.
Adore you. I adore all of you. I see all of you. I see all the tweets. I'll be looking at them as soon as I hang up. Please share your women weapons that you bought tonight. I'll be retweeting and just championing Sarah even more for the next couple of hours. I wish you all well. Please do not spend money you can't afford. If you can't afford the women and you think you're gonna buy it right now and sell it tomorrow, you might get caught. Please, please don't spend money that you can't afford to lose. But most of all, continue to enjoy each other, continue to push creativity. The NFT space has allowed a lot of us to tap into our youth. I believe one of the reasons my business and my life has been happy is I've never given up a lot of my child-ish behavior. I see so many of you more tapping into adolescence, creativity. I think this is a very special time in the human race, the same way I felt about Internet One, the same way I felt about social media. And I'm glad to be a part of it with all of you. I'll see you on Twitter in a few seconds. Sarah, one last time, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thanks so much, Gary. Have a wonderful evening, and thank you everybody so much for being here.
Cheers, everyone. I felt about Internet One, the same way I felt about social media. And I'm glad to be a part of it with all of you. I'll see you on Twitter in a few seconds. Sarah, one last time, thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thanks so much, Gary. Have a wonderful evening. And thank you, everybody, so much for being here.
Cheers, everyone.